Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shedd. I am a writer for the Viking Age as well as zone coverage and bring me the news. And joining me is my co-host and managing editor of the Viking Age, Adam Patrick. We do this every Monday and Thursday night right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We are also available in podcast form on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So like, comment, share, subscribe so you never miss a new episode. Adam, I'm not big on trivia or any of that stuff, as you know. So I'm just going to ask you straight up, what happened on Sunday?
I don't know if the Vikings know what happened. They got their butt whooped. That's about all you can say to describe it on in every facet of the game: offense, defense, special teams, coaching. It was bad. Everyone had their worst performance pretty much at the same time, hoping that that doesn't happen again in the future. But sometimes that's how things go. It doesn't mean the season's over. Doesn't mean the world is, you know, going to end. Doesn't mean the Vikings can't still contend for a championship. It was just a bad game. It could have been a really bad matchup for the Vikings. The Cowboys just on the other side of the ball, they did everything right. So yeah, it was just wasn't good. It was over by halftime. CBS let everyone know that by switching over after the third quarter. But yeah, it was bad. I don't know why, but like I'm not worried about it. Like maybe with Zimmer teams in the years past, I would have been worried, but I feel like this is a different team, this different coaching staff. They're going to have hopefully a different approach and make the right adjustments to make sure something like this doesn't happen, or at least do the best they can to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But yeah, it was bad. And I don't know. It was what, a 37-point loss?
Yeah.
But to me, like, if they lost by 21 or 37, like, I don't really see that big of a difference between that, because I've seen a lot of stuff on like the point differential now for the Vikings, and I'm like, okay, I guess, but they're still 8-2, so they must be doing something right. But yeah, it was not good, but you know, you throw it in the trash, move ahead. Luckily, I think a lot of the Vikings are excited to get to play on Thursday and get a quick chance to get that bad taste out of their mouth, and we'll see if they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, we kind of knew something like this was coming, you know. Jesse Pierce, who's on the Before I Die podcast with Thor Nystrom, kept saying, you know, the Vikings will lose another game this year. Yeah. And she wasn't trying to be, like, you know, mean about it, like, oh, they suck and whatever. No, like, that was just a fact. They weren't going to go 16-1 and go all the way to the Super Bowl and win, like, there was going to be a bad game thrown in there, whether it was 3 points or 37, like the Vikings were going to lose in some fashion. I think it's just a shock of how bad it was in terms of, you know, the eye test, even, you know, the offensive line in general, allowing 7 sacks on Kirk Cousins, that can't happen. And you lose Christian Darrisaw in that game. I totally understand that you're going to have a drop off there, but I mean, it was like they just weren't prepared to play. And I don't know if they read their press clippings. I mean, this is like a staple of the Zimmer regime, right? Mm-hmm. Like they would have these awesome performances. Maybe they would get a surprise winner here or there. And then the very next week, they would just come out and get absolutely blasted, or they would just have a WTF game. Yep. Like, you know, the Buffalo game a couple years ago. That's really what this reminds me of, is that, you know, the Vikings just weren't prepared to play. I don't know if they didn't practice enough, because I know Kevin O'Connell kind of pumped the brakes, which I was all for. I mean, that's something you got to do. But, you know, I think to have this hiccup now is a bit of a positive. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the schedule, you have, I mean, these four games, Buffalo, Dallas, New England, and New York, those are hard-hitting, you know, trench warfare type teams. And, you know, if there's a weakness of this team, it's between the trenches. It's the offensive line and the defensive line, especially when Za'Darius Smith is nursing a knee injury. So, I mean, I looked at this stretch before the Buffalo game and I said, if you can get out of this stretch at 500 and, you know, maybe after this stretch, maybe Cameron Dantzler gets healthy. Caleb Evans will likely be healthy from his concussion, although we just don't know, as we saw with Christian Darrisaw. Could just be a couple of plays and then all of a sudden, you know, nothing happens. But I lost my train of thought. Somebody was reaching out to me. If they can get healthy and get ready for that stretch run, like my target date for this team to hit its stride is December 24th against the Giants. So that is basically where I think the Vikings should hit their stride.
Yeah, and they've had games, like you said, with Zimmer like this in the past. A lot of those guys from those teams are still in the locker room. You know, Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Harrison Smith, Neil Hunter, Eric Kendricks, like a lot of those guys are still around. So that, you know, that behavior or mentality of, you know, we just won this great game, you know, no one's going to beat us now. Maybe we don't have to work as hard this week is still in there. I'm not saying they didn't work hard last week. They probably did. But and also Kevin O'Connell's learning too. Like he might have been a little more relaxed with the Vikings during practice leading up to this, and now he might not be. Now he might be like, okay, guys, like, you know, we might have won this great game, but we still got, you know, this big opponent coming up, and they're not going to mess around. So I think it's a learning experience for everybody. I think especially in game too, because it didn't seem like Kevin O'Connell made a lot of adjustments, even though Kirk Cousins kept getting killed. Like he didn't call quick passes or screens or, you know, stuff to just rollouts to just get, you know, to prevent the pass rush from being as dominant as it was. He kept just calling like just regular normal 5-7 step drops and hoping that the, you know, backup offensive lineman would hold against the elite pass rush of the Dallas Cowboys, and surprise, it didn't. I think it's a learning experience for everybody. It's good that it comes now. It's good that it's not, you know, right at the end of the season before you go into the playoffs, or in the playoffs. But yeah, let's not. And also, the Cowboys are pretty good. They're what, 7-3, mm-hmm. 6-3. They're good. They're going to be a tough team to beat in the playoffs. Tony Pollard is ridiculous. I'm not really sure why Zeke Elliott is even playing as much as he is, because Tony Pollard needs to be on the field as much as possible. But I know they're paying Zeke a lot of money, so that's probably why. The Cowboys are good. So apparently, you know, playing these NFC East teams is not easy for the Vikings this year, because they got killed by the Eagles. They were losing by 10 in the fourth quarter to the Commanders, and they got killed by the Cowboys. So I'm a little worried about that Giants game, not going to lie.
Yeah, and I think, too, my concerns are more long-term than anything. Darrisaw thing is number one on my list as far as concerns, because it's his second concussion in 2 weeks, and he suffered it pretty quickly. I think he only lasted the first drive, and then he was pulled from the game. Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see the play. Was it dirty?
I think, no. I think it was just a a straight up like bull rush. But the Cowboys defender pretty much just like put his head in the Darisaw's head. And that's pretty much, that was the last play he was on the field. So everyone's just assuming that's how it happened.
And I think, was that the Parsons sack?
I don't remember.
Okay. Cause yeah, he gave up a sack right away in the game and then all of a sudden he was out of the game. So
yeah, he seemed off. Like he didn't seem like he was recovered from the initial concussion. So I'm curious to see like if he suffered another one or like this is still the first one and he didn't recover fully. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out until, well, they get a longer break after this Patriots game. So that might help them. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for the Jets game as well. I don't mind that. It's a concussion. Like these things need to be taken seriously. And I would rather have that than have like a Tua situation where, you know, Mike McDaniel's just going up there and spitting out whatever he thinks people should want to hear. And it looks terrible. So, whatever amount of time Darisaw has to be out is fine. We're like, I think O'Connell said afterwards, like he's got a bright, long future. Let's worry about that and not worry about, you know, beating the Jets or beating the Lions. His future is probably way more important than a few games this season.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because he's having an all-pro season and everything else. I mean, Judd Zolgad theorized he might be out a month, and it's hard to, like, speculate and guess how long somebody's going to be out with a concussion, you know. You know, we were doing it all last week with Darisaw because he was on social media and everything looked good and he was playing and whatever. And it's just going to be a wait and see. Like I said, if they can get him back for the Giants game, you know, take your time because I mean, after this Patriots game, you get the Jets. I'm not really afraid of the Jets right now.
Defense is good.
Yes. But I don't think they can put enough points up to win a game.
No. Not if Zach Wilson's playing.
Not with the Disney villain at quarterback that they seem to have right now.
But I will say, if Darisaw is going to be out for an extended period of time, please have a different game plan. Don't assume.
Yeah.
Don't put Blake Brandel in there and be like, all right, you got to do everything that Darisaw did. It's like, no, he's not going to do that.
Seven-step drop. And that's what – here's the thing. That's what they should have done against Dallas is quick passes – because both those corners are corners that are going to bite on double moves and are super aggressive. So Justin Jefferson probably was open very quickly in the game. Yes. And if you're running, you know, these elaborate routes downfield, they take time to develop. If you run a quick route, like Justin Jefferson could have caught the ball and then he goes up against a secondary that is just horrendous at tackling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the adjustment didn't get there. And Jefferson mentioned it. I'm curious to see how O'Connell responds. I think he might be talking today or tomorrow. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure, but as we record this on Tuesday morning, but that's going to be interesting. The other concern that I had coming out of this game was Andrew Booth Jr. And this entire rookie class is really starting to look bad. And I don't know how Lewis Seen would have progressed or anything. You know, throughout the season. He could have, and I mean, I've heard from people I've talked to that he's more of a like doer kind of learner than a thinker kind of learner. Yeah. I'm kind of the same way, especially when it comes to
it takes probably and stuff. Yeah, it takes a little longer for him to pick things up. I heard that too. Like in Georgia, it took him a little bit, but once he picks it up, like he's
right. And I mean, you have Ed Ingram, who's probably the worst guard in football. Brian Asamoah is a special teamer. Caleb Evans has been fine, but the rest aren't even mentioning. Booth in particular, 8 targets by Dallas. He allowed 7 catches, 85 yards. And you could say they're growing pains, but I mean, the Cowboys basically went there and said, let's go after that guy. And the good news is the Patriots and Jets don't really have receivers to fear, but Booth doesn't look great. And he's a guy that they traded up for to go get. So, I mean, that is a big concern for me that he doesn't even look anywhere ready to play.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the two teams that he went against for his first, he was on, like, I think last week against the Bills was his first defensive snaps with the Vikings this year. And then this week against the Cowboys was his first start. Those are two of the best offenses in the NFL this year. So, like, to be those for those to be your first, like that to be your first action in the NFL, that's a pretty tough task for any rookie. We know the cornerback is extremely tough to, you know, switch over from college to the NFL because the rules are just so much more different. And, you know, I feel like any corners that come in the league and are have a little bit of success immediately is a surprise, because I expect most corners to struggle. So I'm not surprised that Booth is struggling. I'm not worried. I will be worried maybe in the middle of next season if he's still like this. But he hasn't given up a touchdown, I will say that. But yeah, like he went against tough competition. He's the fifth cornerback on the Vikings depth chart. We're finding out why. Because you got what? Patrick Peterson, Dantzler, Caleb Evans, Shannon Sullivan, and then Andrew Booth. So we're finding out why, and it's not a bad thing. You know, some guys take longer to learn. Maybe this scheme isn't something that he's used to. So we'll see. He had a good pass breakup, where he dove and broke up the pass. So there's some things to be excited about with him still, but rookie struggles, Ed Ingram, rookie struggles, like all these guys, like I'm not surprised. I think we get spoiled sometimes with some of the rookie classes. You look around the league, like the Seahawks and the Patriots, and how good their rookies are playing this year. That's not the norm. Usually it takes a few years for, you know, you to get any sort of benefit out of the players that you drafted past the first round. I think Brian Asamoah is doing pretty good on special teams. Do we count Ryan Wright as part of the rookie class? He was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
you can count. He had a bad punt on Sunday too, but he had a good one as well. But yeah, I mean, it's not good. Like, you would like your depth to be better out on the field, but the Vikings, you know, injury wise, they don't really have a whole lot of choices right now. So it is what it is. But yes, luckily they're playing the Patriots and Jets, who can you name the top receiver on the Patriots? I can't.
I want to say it's Kendrick Bourne. That's the first name that comes to mind.
Let's see.
Even on the team, there's Jacoby Myers, but he doesn't score touchdowns unless I'm playing him in fantasy.
Jacoby Myers has 44 catches for 509 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Is he the number one?
Yeah, he's averaging 8 targets a game, so I'm guessing. And then you got the next best receiver is Nelson Aguilar, Devontae Parker. So, yeah.
Like, here's the thing. It's just like Bill Belichick doesn't need help to identify your weaknesses.
No.
And the Vikings just put them all on tape in a big red bowl, like they're passing, you know, a bowl of sweet potatoes at Thanksgiving.
He was going to find them anyways.
Yeah, you know, like he's probably just flipped on it. He's like, oh shit, that was easy,
right?
Go steal Christmas or something. This is where it gets bad, because Bill Belichick, I wrote this at Zone Coverage, he is the worst possible guest for the Vikings for Thanksgiving. Because I mean, I looked through the history of the Vikings against Bill Belichick. And I have it. So I mean, I'll run through it super quick here. But like 2002, Vikings fell behind 21-0 and lost 24-17 in Foxborough. Vikings finished 6-10. They sucked anyway, so I'm not going to waste too much time on that. 2006, Vikings started the Brad Childress era 4-2. I went to this game. It was a Monday Night Football game. It was the first Monday Night game I've ever been to. Tom Brady threw for 372 yards and 4 touchdowns and won 31-7. The only offensive touchdown was a Mewelde Moore punt return.
Ooh.
And the Vikings, like I said, they started 4-2. They finished 6-10. 2010, Patriots won 28-18. Brett Favre got hurt. Randy Moss had a meltdown, was traded to Minnesota, and then got cut because he doesn't like Tanucci's. They finished 6-10. Sensing a pattern here.
Yeah.
2014, Mike Zimmer. Yay. They beat the Rams. Harrison Smith, pick 6. Adrian Peterson got suspended before the game, but this is a new era. We're good here. We got Norv Turner. Norv, right? The Vikings managed just 217 yards of total offense. Most of them on the first drive where PA had an orgasm in the booth or something. Vikings lost 30-7. AP never played another game, and they finished 7-9. And then 2018, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen were just taking over the league. Bill Belichick said, well, let's double these guys, see what happens, whatever. Surprisingly, Laquon Treadwell didn't step up. And Dalvin Cook had 84 yards, but he only had them on 9 carries. So Vikings lost 24-7. They fired John DeFilippo and 8-7-1.
The Thielen argument with Belichick game.
Yeah, that was like straight out of the Minnesota Wild playbook. Like, we're getting our ass kicked, but I'm just going to start a fight anyway type of thing. Send a message.
I think I figured it out that the Vikings have never made the playoffs in a season where they've played the Patriots since 2000, seems like.
Right. Well, and when was Belichick hired? Was that 90? Because they won the Super Bowl in 2001. So was it 99 or 2000? So those would have been the only times they played Belichick.
Right. 2000, I think, actually.
So basically what I've noticed is that he knows how to shut down any offense that's thrown at him. That's not a surprise. He's Bill Belichick. Yeah. He's probably the greatest coach of all time.
Not sorry, according Packer to fans. LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, yeah, you know. But when they probably had a field day, by the way.
He's just a guy with him.
Just in the viewing room, just cracking some cold ones and, you know, hanging out with Minnie Mouse. Yeah. you know, and I mean, this game shouldn't scare me. I look at the roster and I go, they're fine. And the thing is, the Patriots have the second highest pressure rate behind the Dallas Cowboys as far as you know, getting to the quarterback. That's a little bit of a concern. But I mean, I look at this roster and I don't really fear anything. Like, you know, if I'm Bill Belichick, I look at the tape and I go, okay, they just got bitched in the trenches. Offensively and defensively, we're going to send pressure. We're going to send blitzes. The other thing that the Cowboys did, and I noticed this while watching the game, is that they did a good job of disguising their coverage. Mm-hmm. So they would have a guy follow Justin Jefferson in motion, and then they would drop back into a cover two. And for a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, who is immaculate before the snap, but then has trouble improvising, that was a death sentence for him. So I mean, Bill Belichick's probably like, well, that's easy. I do that all the time. Shit. I mean, yeah, we'll just go ahead and do that. what concerns you about this game?
Well, I had a question. Do we think, I just thought of this, do we think that, you know, George Edwards, Jayron Kearse, Anthony Barr being on the other sideline had any impact on how poorly the Vikings played on offense and them knowing what a lot of the weaknesses are of some of those Vikings players?
Could have definitely been something. Mike McCarthy could have went up and been like, hey, what would you have done? Barr could have been
George Edwards seemed pretty fired up.
Forgot he was even on the, what is he, like defensive analyst? Like a
senior defensive analyst, yeah.
Expert drawing, coffee maker.
Drawing with Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook gets the flag. That's always good.
I don't know. Hey, Chris Boyd got a penalty too. We should probably point that out.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make the Pro Bowl now. So
down he goes. Down he goes.
All right, what was your question about the Patriots?
What concerns you about this matchup?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's just Belichick, you know, he, as poorly as some of the aspects of their team might be, he has a way of making sure that his teams make like the fewest mistakes possible. And when you make a mistake, they're going to capitalize on it. So like fumbling in your own, you know, on your own side of the field, shanking a punt, you know, missing a fourth down play, like his teams are known for like capitalizing on mistakes. They just take advantage. They do their jobs. And they take advantage of their mistakes and also they know your weaknesses. They're going to exploit them as much as possible. Like I have this feeling, you remember that, was it last year? Was it the Bills and Patriots when the Patriots ran like 40 times?
Yeah.
Like I could see that happening on Thursday because the Vikings rush defense has been terrible the last 3 weeks without Dalvin Tomlinson, who might play on Thursday. I could see Bill Belichick being like, just stop it. Just do what you can. Just see if you can stop it. I don't think you can. And we're going to keep running the ball until you can stop it. And he doesn't care as long as they win. He doesn't care if Mac Jones has 5 pass attempts or, you know, whatever. They're going to do whatever they can to win. And, I don't know. Like people are like, oh, the Patriots are not that good. They lost a bunch of games. You always got to be worried about the Patriots, especially if you're a team that doesn't play them very often, because you're not used to like a team like the Bills or the Dolphins have a better chance at beating the Patriots because they're used to some of the stuff that he does. But a team like the Vikings that sees them every 4 years, it's never usually a good thing. So I know the Vikings are favored by what, 3.5?
Two and a half. I actually looked this morning when I was.
Oh, it's going down. Good.
They probably watched the game one more time and like, yeah, that's a little high.
Yeah, it's. I think it's gonna be low scoring. I think Greg Joseph's got to make his kicks. Can't be missing kicks because points are probably gonna be hard to come by.
This is where not watching the second half kind of hurts me a little bit, because did he miss a kick?
No.
Okay.
No.
He made his first field goal in US Bank Stadium since week one. That was big.
Yeah.
I guess if we want to talk about positives 20, in that game.
It was 26 yards. You better make that.
I don't know. Blair Walsh was 27. So.
Well, that was too far. So
that was out of his range.
Oh, since they're playing on Thanksgiving, I wanted to show you my shirt.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
That is elite.
A classic picture. I had to. Get my Thanksgiving shirt. I'm ready to go. Hopefully Justin Jefferson can have a similar performance. I think they're gonna be all over him too. They're gonna be like, okay, Thielen's old. Go ahead, pass to him. I think TJ Hockenson's gonna be probably a big factor in this game. He cannot drop passes in the end zone like he did against the Cowboys. Because that felt eerily similar to week two against the Eagles when he catches that, the game is totally different. You know, like Irv Smith, he catches that, the game's totally different. So don't drop passes, TJ.
Jordan Hicks shouldn't survive any criticism either, because that was pathetic.
Pollard.
Yeah. And I mean, Tony Pollard, like you mentioned it, he should be playing more, except the Crypt Keeper paid Zeke a whole bunch of money. Yeah. He's like, I got to get my money out of Zeke. Yeah. Real nice. But it just, you know, Hicks has been slow in coverage all year long. And again, the Cowboys has found a way to do it. I hate keep going back to that game, but I mean, that's the type of game that you put weaknesses on tape and teams will look to repeat that. So what happens on Thursday? Like that's what makes this so interesting on Thursday. What happens when teams know what to do against you now? Is there another wrinkle that Kevin O'Connell can come up with to keep this from going? Because, I mean, like I said, the Vikings are in a great position. 8-2 is not bad. Like in past years, this was like a death blow to the Vikings. Like we just lost to Cooper Rush and now we're under 500 and now we need this team to lose, this team to lose. No, you have the North wrapped up. You at least have one home playoff game. I think you still have a 2-game lead over Seattle or I think it's San Francisco now. For the NFC or for the second seed. So, I mean, you're in a good spot. And like, if you need to kind of weather a storm a little bit, you need to do that. I mean, the Rams didn't win a game last year in November.
Right.
So, and then, you know, they just kind of, okay, whatever, just keep working at it. And eventually they fought through it. So
can we talk about the Niners for a minute? Like what is this obsession with everyone being like, oh, they're the team to watch, you know, like watch out for them. As much
they
as
they don't impress like, me, their defense, no, like, they're a lot like the Patriots. Their defense is good and they have good players. Again, I've said it before. Kyle Shanahan is the kid who plays with a box at Christmas because he gets the Green Ranger Megazord RIP and he just wants to play with the box and pretend he's the Dragon Zord.
I mean, I'm just looking at people always talk about like, who, you know, who have the Vikings beat or whatever, but like I'm looking at the Niners schedule right now, their best win is over the Seahawks in week 2 when the Seahawks were still trying to figure things out. They lost to the Broncos. They got blown out by the Falcons by 14 points. They beat the Rams twice. They got killed by the Chiefs. They barely beat the Chargers. They just killed the Cardinals, who are terrible, who had their backup in. They beat the Panthers, big whoop. Like I don't, that to me, there, and everyone's just assuming that Christian McCaffrey is going to stay healthy for the rest of the season, even though he hasn't done that in like 4 years. There's just, I don't understand it a lot. Like there's a lot of obsession too, like Kyle Shanahan, he's like this genius or whatever. I'm like, have you looked at his, Mike Tice has a higher winning percentage than Kyle Shanahan in his career. That shouldn't happen the way that they talk about Kyle Shanahan. I know he's a great offensive mind. He's probably a better offensive coordinator than he is a head coach. I don't know. I understand they get in the playoffs, they're going to be a tough team to beat. Mm-hmm. But this obsession, like, oh, they could be like a sneaky Super Bowl favorite. No, I don't think so. It's just bothering me because like Troy Aikman was like drooling over Kyle Shanahan yesterday when they beat the Cardinals with Colt McCoy. It was just I don't know, that bothered me yesterday and I had to like get that off my chest. But yeah,
not only the Cardinals, the shorthanded Cardinals, you mentioned, yeah, Colt McCoy, they were down Hollywood Brown. Yeah. They were down, I think Rondale Moore got hurt very early in that game. Imagine 170 pound receivers getting hurt in the NFL. That's weird. I don't know. That Arizona team's not good. They don't have leadership. They don't have good coaching. They don't have a lot of things.
I would still say the Vikings are the third best team in the NFC behind the Eagles and Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still don't think the gap between the Cowboys and the Vikings is 37 points. No.
It was just a really off day. Like, I don't know. This happens. It happens. Like
it's so funny to hear us talk about this because it's just, like we're just sitting here like, what was that? Like,
yeah,
we're not going to know until Thursday. Like if they come out and play like this on Thursday, sound the alarm. But if they don't.
If the Patriots put 40 points up on the Vikings, go ahead and cancel the season. Like that's not going to happen though. But like there's evidence. Like I know I myself and a lot of other people have posted things on Twitter. Like, you know, 3 of the last 4 Super Bowl champions have all had a game in their season where they've lost by 21 points or more. Like it's just the Bengals lost by like 30 points last year in the middle of their season before making the Super Bowl. Like this, it's just happened. Sometimes things unravel and you can't recover, and it gets out of hand, and that it is what it is, and you move on and you figure out. Sometimes it's good though. Like it makes you kind of take a step back and realize, okay, you know, we're not as good as we think we are. We still have plenty to work on, and you fix those weaknesses, and it helps you moving forward so that you can, you know, be better when you face a team like the Cowboys or the Eagles in the future. Cause I honestly, I would like to see the Vikings play the Cowboys again. I know a lot of people are like, no, they just got killed, but I would like to see that again. Like I said, Hockenson catches that touchdown. That game's way different. So it's just a weird game, and hopefully, yeah, the result on Thursday is much different.
All right. So the Vikings will win on Thursday if
they got to stop the run. They have to stop the run. I know the Patriots aren't the best at running the ball this year, so it could be a little easier. They're not the Cowboys. They don't have that. Their offensive line isn't as good as the Cowboys. But the Vikings have been giving up rushing yards, a lot of rushing yards, without Dalvin Tomlinson in there. And then, you know, you gotta force turnovers. Last week was the first game the first game of the year the Vikings haven't forced a turnover. This season, every other game they forced at least one turnover, and that's clearly a big part of their defensive formula. Like, we're gonna give up a lot of yards, but we're gonna take the ball away from you. And that didn't happen last week. They just gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points. And I think Mac Jones is turnover prone. I think we can say that about him. And you know, this is not a team that you can make stupid mistakes. Chris Boyd. That was a terrible joke because I did it wrong. Chris Boyd, or anyone else, you know, for that matter. This is not a game to get unsportsmanlike, you know, penalties, taunting penalties, whatever. Because that's exactly what Bill Belichick wants you to do. He's probably going to be like, you know, like, go like punch these guys in the mouth. They're going to punch back and they're going to get the flag. So, This is not a game to do that. So you got to play smart, get turnovers, and stop the run.
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree with you. Stopping the run is going to be number one for me, because I think Bill Belichick's going to look at that from last week and go, all right, let's run the ball. Let's punch them in the mouth and see how they respond. Yep. I think that's how the Patriots will definitely open a game. If you put it on Mac Jones's plate, I think you got a very good chance to win, because – He just looks lost. I think Josh McDaniels was a big part of his success last year, even though McDaniels is an awful one. Yeah, when you want to talk about good offensive coordinators but bad, head coaches, yep. Josh McDaniels is at the top of the list.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean...
What do you mean? They got Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as their offensive coordinators. It's going well.
That's like an advantage coming into this game for me, like when you think about it. But, I mean... Man. But yeah, you got to stop the run. You got to get pressure when they do decide to go back and pass. Like the Vikings, I think they only had like a 20% pressure rate, and that might be high against the Cowboys. So you have to do that. And again, like I think adjustments are going to be key in this game. Like they didn't make a single adjustment over the course of the Dallas game, and Justin Jefferson called it out. Again, I'm interested to see what Kevin O'Connell might say. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like the Mike Zimmer era. It felt like Zimmer was watching through like that kind of interrogation glass during press conferences. Yeah. Cause like, you know, Kirk was, I don't really know how to answer that.
I will say this. A lot of the stuff Jefferson said yesterday, he was kind of egged on and nudged into saying what came out, because I watched the press conferences, and a lot of the questions were like, do you wish that you change this? And he's like, yes, I wish. And people are like, oh, Justin Jefferson said he wished that they threw more quick passes.
But I don't think anything Jefferson said was that bad. It's not like he came out and said, like, it was just like matter of fact. Like, he was like, yeah, we probably should have ran more quick play stuff. Like, I don't know. Head coach doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah. Like, everyone would agree with him. Everyone knows they played like, you know, terrible. He's not saying anything that no one disagrees with. I don't think he's not like throwing anyone under the bus. He didn't name names. So, yeah.
The Patriots will win if.
This goes to your adjustments thing, but like you said, the Patriots have a very good pass rush. if the Vikings think they can just come out and not have and run their offense, you know, as they would with Christian Darrisaw on the left tackle, then they're going to lose. They're going to get sacked. Kirk Cousins is going to fumble the ball. The Patriots are going to get easy points. So yeah, you gotta have a different plan. Like, I was waiting for, you know, Kevin O'Connell to call some, maybe a jet sweep or something, like a motion or something to throw them off. Like, it felt like their game plan against Buffalo was very good, at least when they were scoring. Mm-hmm. They had a lot, like the CJ Ham play when they scored the touchdown. That was incredible. We didn't see any of that against the Cowboys. It was kind of like, we'll beat them. We'll be all right. I'll just use one of my normal playbooks. I also think Kevin O'Connell might be a little more amped up for this game because he was drafted by the Patriots.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's kind of like a mentor to him. So I feel like he's going to have something to prove, especially after Sunday's performance. He doesn't seem like he's someone who's just going to be like, oh, well, try again. He seems like someone who's going to be affected by Sunday and like get 2 hours of sleep this week because he's going to just want to be coming up with a much better game plan. So I expect. And if they win the coin toss, don't elect to receive.
Yeah.
Okay. Get the ball. Like, in this, it sounds so stupid, but getting the ball in the second half, like, it's a big advantage. First and the second half, because if you get the ball at the end of the first half and you score points, then you can score points in the beginning of the second half, which the Vikings haven't really done this year because they sucked in the third quarter. But you at least get that, you know, that those chances. Because I heard that on Sunday. I was like, oh, the Vikings won the toss and they like to receive. And I'm like, what? Why? But maybe they just wanted to, like, get ahead quickly and control the game plan or whatever. But yeah, make adjustments. Don't come out with a 7-step drop plan, call quick passes, throw, you know, call some trick plays if you want, you know, that Bill Belichick likes to do that stuff. Well, I guess Josh McDaniels like to do that, but you know, throw them off. Don't just give them easy, you know, opportunities to stop you. Like, this is the Patriots. They're a smart team and you have to outsmart them. So that's what they got to do.
What's your the double dip? It just reminded me because I always do that in NCAA football, and tough news today.
Not for a while.
Yeah, July 2024. Which can I rant? Route before we do score predictions? Because I was one of the guys who overpaid during the pandemic to get NCAA college football, and yeah. I also have a PS5. Yeah. I play college football on my PS3 more than I play my PS5. Like, 100%, it's just a more fun game. And like, it blows my mind that EA cannot create a good video game right now. Outside of NHL. FIFA? NHL 23 is good. A lot of people like FIFA. I'm not a big soccer guy, so I don't play it. But like, NHL 23 is good. Madden is just a dumpster fire every year. And like, I don't know if it's because I suck at it and throw interceptions all the time. I've heard a lot of people have had issues with interceptions.
Since I had a PS2.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, when I bought the new one, I'm like, I want to buy Madden and just see what it looks like. Right. And like, there's just so many flaws with it. Like, you can't even do a franchise because I guess it resets once it runs out of draft people. What? Like those are just little things where it's like, do you think you should go through that? But no, we need Madden Ultimate Team and we need to make our money off of that. And, you know, little Jimmy and a 9-year-old playing in his underwear every day. Like, that, you know, I mean, I just want to play against the computer in a franchise mode, build a team and like have it be fun. Like, that's the thing. NCAA 14 is fun. It's fun to build your own team. It's fun to take over. Like, the one I started was because there is this group called College Football Revamped that has updated all the rosters. It's even put in like the newer stadiums, like the Hurricanes play at Hard Rock. They put in the new Hard Rock Stadium from a Madden. I can't remember whatever the last Madden last gen was. They put that in there. They put in the new Falcons Stadium is in there. Like, they do tremendous work.
So they're doing better than EA.
they're doing, they figured it out. It's just, you know, and I mean, I'm looking at the article right now. That's the best date for us to bring the game that we think is going to meet or exceed our player expectations. Well, Jesus Christ, it doesn't slow you down with Madden, does it? Like, well, I am just, I don't know. Maybe it'll be worth the wait. Maybe it won't. But I mean, you know what? It just kind of, I'll probably buy Madden next year and just with the hope. I think that next year I'm just going to wait and see what everybody else says first. I don't know.
I've been out of the video game loop for a while. I'll probably get it back into it when my kids get older. But yeah, I used to play Madden all the time on my PS2 or whatever. I used to play NCAA football. Loved running the option. I think that was like one of my favorite parts of NCAA football. I feel like EA Sports is like basically like falling off. They used to like be so dominant with every title.
That's what I'm saying.
NBA Live used to be like the game. MVP Baseball, Tiger Woods. What's the boxing one they had? They had a boxing one too.
I can't remember what it was.
They had everything. And now it seems like 2K is like the dominant brand for at least sports games.
Or even Sony Studios in the show. That's probably the best video game out there right now. I mean, even if you don't like baseball, it's easy to play. This is what I like about NCAA 14, and like the non video game crowd is probably turning this podcast off, but that's fine. But like, you can customize it to play it how you want. Like if you think you throw too many interceptions, you can turn it down. I mean, that's the slider, but like the offense, you can have a different skill. The defense, you can have a different skill. Like MLB The Show, like if you want to do a pitching meter, you could do it that way. If you want to have the meter when you throw across the diamond, you can do it that way. Like there's just options. I like the fact that there's options. Madden, there's not really many options unless you want to play Ultimate Team and pay microtransactions out the ass. So, I mean, that is, yeah, it's got me a little triggered this morning. Let's just put it that way. But anyway, let's get back on track. What's your prediction for the game?
Let's see. What's the spread right now?
42.5. I came prepared at least.
Over under. Yeah. 17-13 Vikings. It's not going to be very fun. It's going to be
by something more than the turkey.
Who's the commentator on NBC? Why am I blanking?
Mike Tirico.
And who else?
Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth. I not thinking of that. Chris Collinsworth. Can't wait to hear about how much he loves the Patriots all the entire game on Thursday. 17-13
Vikings. I'm going to go the opposite way almost, but I'm going to go 16-13 Patriots. I think the Vikings put enough on tape for Bill Belichick to beat them. I think people are really going to panic after this, but they have 11 days. They can regroup and whatever. I hope I'm wrong, but I Bill Belichick's history against the Vikings scares me as far as that goes. And like I said, you basically gift wrapped all your weaknesses for him to game plan over this 4-game stretch. He basically got cliff notes.
Kirk Cousins, 2-0 on Thursday nights with the Vikings at home.
Kirk Cousins in prime time.
Kirk Cousins.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap things up here. That is all the time we have for today. Make sure you like, comment, follow, subscribe.
See you next Monday.
I'm saying right now. Yeah, we will not have a episode on Thursday, so we'll gripe about the game. Or praise the game on Monday so we can eat turkey and all of that good stuff. But right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel, I am Chris Shad. He's Adam Patrick. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.